And I see the cat. I'm like, oh, hey, what's up, buddy? And he's like meowing at me real aggressive, which he does sometimes. You know, sometimes just excited to see you. But I notice he's not running down the stairs, which normally him and I have this little game where he'll run down the stairs and pretend to ambush me, and then I'll chase him and stuff.
Yeah.
And he always does it. He didn't do it this time. And I'm like, what's
going on? He's telling you not to go down
there. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it was. So I go down and I see water. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, no. Right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Distinguished Humans Indie Game Dev Club. I'm your host, Brad, and with me, as always, is Zach. Hello, Zach.
Hello, everyone.
All right. So it's been probably since we started this thing, maybe our longest hiatus.
I think so. And this one was more of a circumstances and schedules situation. Yeah. We wanted to do one more episode before 2023 closed out. And then, I don't know, we both just were busy. And yeah, it just didn't line up. So we're like, nah, screw it. We'll just take a break.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, we had a chance in 2022 going into 2023 to kind of like let you know that we were going on a holiday break. And we planned on having that episode this recent past holiday, but just so much going on for both of us, which is why we take the holiday break. But it just never came together. And a lot of that was, you know, I made the decision to get back into theater. And I'm not saying I regret the decision. It's a wonderful show, and I'm having a great time doing it, meeting a lot of new people, having a great time, getting back on stage. It's really fun. Mm-hmm. But I will say that I am at the point that I'm excited that we are 3 weeks out from opening, and then I will be glad when the shows have been done and I can get back to a little less crazy schedule.
Yeah.
It's been nuts.
That was me during this last semester. This semester was crazy. Working full time while still going technically part time school, but I was one class away from being a full time student. So
right.
Yeah, I was just stupid busy through that whole semester. And when I hit the end, it was one of those things where like you're so stressed out over your time that you think you're getting good grades, but like your fortitude is wavering, you know, and you're like, mm-hmm. Did I pass? Did I do good? You know? And it's just like you're so stressed out, you can't think clearly about it. And so what I did at the very last week right before finals, I calculated out my grades with the weights, and I was like, what's the minimum grade I need on each of these finals? And then when I saw my minimum grades, I was like, oh, okay, I'm good. I can bomb these. It's fine.
Right.
And for those of you who are unawares, I have officially graduated. I am a proud recipient of a bachelor's degree in computer science. So
congratulations, buddy.
Thank you. It feels good to have time on my hands.
Oh, heck yeah, dude. Like, some of the times when you were explaining your schedule, like in the past, it's been like, I have no idea how you're doing all that and still like keeping it. I mean, really throughout most of the time that we've been doing this show, both of our schedules have been kind of nuts.
Yeah. It's been a huge ebb and flow for both of us for sure.
Yeah. But looking like when March rolls around, after the show's done, like, my schedule is going to calm down like more than it's been in 4 years. Like it's really going to open up. And I was actively trying to keep my schedule very busy, and I think I maybe overcompensated on that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got like really trying to hit a lot of social events and, you know, theater, and like I'm doing home renovations right now as well. And like, there's just, I'm finding myself longing for just being able to sit on the couch and watch a show. And that those times are few and far between right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I know how that feels. I didn't even want to play video games, man, while I was going through school. 'Cause it was just like, that requires me to be like proactive with my brain, and my brain's tapped out.
Well, yeah, that's been kind of the thing for me too. Like I did do a little run with a WoW Classic for a couple weeks recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Season of Discovery came out, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I leveled up a couple guys to the max level of 25, and you know, it was just a nice distraction on some evenings. But that's kind of run its course. I'm over that already. Was playing Baldur's Gate 3 a little bit when it came out on the Xbox. Don't have much time to do that, but it's that same thing you just said. Like, I've just been, I don't want to actively be doing something where I have to think, you know, in the very rare moments that I get a chance to relax, it's like, I just tell me a story through pictures and colors and sound. Don't make me do anything.
I fully understand. Like when I graduated, I took like 2 or 3 weeks, pretty much all the way through the up until the holidays. And I'll get to why it's an until the holidays and not through the holidays. But I took that like time to just decompress because I realized I had been go, 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 go for like 4.5 straight years.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I need to give myself a little bit of a breather before I get back into like a go, 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 go. Attitude. And I realized that that should be like a cycle, not right. a consistency.
Yes.
And
yeah, I've come to the same realization recently, and I really want to, like I said, when March hits, I'm really looking forward to just letting myself not have any major plans for a while.
Yeah, I get it. And, I mean, I have some game dev stuff. It's not as much as I would like, but there were some things that happened in my life that have delayed a lot of things. I had to work from home for almost 2 weeks. I might as well just talk about it now since I already brought it up. But
yeah,
my house decided to effectively fall apart the day before Christmas Eve, the day of Christmas Eve, and on Christmas, and the day after Christmas. Yeah. So
Christmas present.
Yeah, I believe Christmas Eve was a Sunday. So that's Saturday. And if I get the day of the week wrong, oh well.
I think you're right.
Correct it in your head, I guess. I'm not going to look it up.
Yeah, Christmas but, and New Year's was on a Monday this year, so you're right.
Okay. So yeah, and that Saturday my washer died. Mm. Now, this isn't the first time my washer's done this, so I thought, okay, I'm going to do what I did last time and I'm going to leave it plugged in. I'm going to open the lid and I'm going to leave it open. And what was happening is the water wasn't draining and it wasn't running cycle. It just would kind of stop. And I was like, all right, whatever, just do it. And then overnight it'll empty itself. Cause that's what happened last time.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Did not empty. So Christmas Eve, I'm like, well, whatever, I'll deal with this later because Christmas Eve is on. We got to go see family and whatnot. My dryer dies.
Oh, fantastic.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then Christmas Day, it is the morning. I am showering and my wife is doing the dishes. We're all getting ready for our Christmas Day. We've already opened presents with the kids. Thank goodness that was all done already.
Right.
And I come downstairs after my shower because I forgot to bring clothes up. So I have to go into the basement to get my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the cat. I'm like, oh, hey, what's up, buddy? He's like meowing at me real aggressive, which he does sometimes. You know, sometimes just excited to see you. But I notice he's not running down the stairs, which normally him and I have this little game where he'll run down the stairs and pretend to ambush me, and then I'll chase him and stuff.
Yeah.
And he always does it. He didn't do it this time. And I'm like, what's
going on? He's telling you not to go down
there. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it was. So I go down and I see water. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, no.
And I yell up to my wife. I'm like, we have a flood. We have a flood. You know, I'm like shouting at the top of my lungs. And so I'm running down there now. I'm naked because I dropped the towel. And I run in there and I notice my water heater is what's going. And I'm like, oh, my God. So my water heater dies on me. And I'm like, dude. Yeah, it's just like one punch after another, dude.
That's how it happens, man.
It really is. And so here's the kicker. So I call my stepdad. I'm like, hey, this is what's going on. I've rectified the situation for now, but obviously I have no hot water, but that's fine. We'll live for a day. Can you help me tomorrow install a new one? Like, I got to go pick it up and install one. Because the water heater became priority number one.
Sure.
And so he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. So he helps me with that. And while we're doing it, I notice that when I'm dumping, because we have to get the rest of the water out of the original tank. So we're getting that out and I'm dumping it down my drain. Mm-hmm. And I notice something when I dump it down the sink that my drain nearby, my water heater keeps bubbling up. And I'm like, hang on a second. And I told my stepdad, I was like, hey, let's watch that drain real quick. So I go and I dump a small bucket of water, and not even 2 or 3 seconds later, you see water bubbling up out of the drain, not going down.
Wow.
So, you know, your first thought is I have a blockage, right? Like, all right, I got to get in there with a snake and just snake it out. And that's what we try. And we notice at about 15 feet-ish, plus or minus some feet, we notice we keep getting stuck. And so we're trying so hard to, like, snake that out. And I have a 25-foot snake, so I still got plenty of, like, you know, give or whatever.
Yeah.
And it gets to a point where both of us are like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to have to call a plumber. We're getting like covered in sewage and just like gross, you know? And I was like, all right, let's just finish installing the water heater and figure it out. I'll call a plumber. And I did. Thankfully, they came out like within the hour. Well, I did have a blockage, but there was also another problem. And when they ran the camera down, I got to see this all happen in real time with these guys because I was out there talking with them, watching.
Right.
They get to this T-junction under my
body.
Yeah, right. I honestly, that would have been a much better story. At least that wouldn't have cost me anything. It would have been messed up, but it wouldn't have cost me anything. Anyway, so my house has a dual stack clean out. So I have two clean outs. That's all that means. And we get to the T junction where these clean outs meet with their drain.
Yeah.
And the T junction is completely collapsed. Like,
wow.
The hole was maybe like, if you make like an okay sign, but make it an oval shape, that was about how big that hole that was left was.
Wow.
So they couldn't get the camera through that hole. So they're like, all right, this is what we'll fix. So they do. They literally come out the next day. They fix it. You know, I'm handling all of this stuff. I get my washer and dryer by the end of that week. And then I was like, all right, nothing else can go wrong. But they come out like the day after they fix the pipe, they come out and they run another camera through because they couldn't see the whole pipe the first time.
Yeah.
And then they find a cracked pipe that's on the verge of collapse further down. And they're like, we have to fix it, but we're not going to charge you anymore. We're just going to fix it. And I'm like,
oh, that was nice of them.
That was nice. It was very nice. And like, so, but what sucked about that one was with the T intersection, I didn't have to move a whole bunch of stuff. I just had to get clear a little bit of an area in my basement. But now I have to move my entire like work area, and my wife's now working from home. So like I had to move our desks completely out, make sure we were still plugged in, but these guys could still get through the floor. Mm-hmm. And it was like, man, dude, I was just, it was utter insanity just how much stuff went wrong so quick. So I was pretty stressed over the holidays.
I bet. That sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, like, we're kind of going into this show kind of like we used to do old school. If you were around during the, you know, before we even named the show, we used to just put on hot mics and just go.
Yeah.
And we got together. Usually what we do is before the show, we'll get together and kind of spitball on. They make a little list of bullets we want to hit and so on and so forth. We didn't do that this time. We talked for maybe 90 seconds and we're like, you know what? This is all, let's just put all this in the show.
Yeah.
Like, let's just hit it and go. Because to be honest, I don't have a lot in the realm of game development to talk about, but getting back to the show and getting back to our community and kind of, you know, starting the year off with that again is going to be what gets me back on track with that. So I think last time I was talking about anything game development wise, I was discussing the drinking game app I was working on.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And I had started working on getting the API stood up for that. And I was a good ways through that actually. I haven't done a lot of work on that. I haven't done any work on that in the past, probably since the last show I talked about it. Yeah. Just a ton of stuff going on in my life, a lot of moving pieces, and things are settling now, and I'm kind of getting back into a good rhythm, and just wanted to let the community know that focusing on this show is one of those things still a priority for me. So
yeah,
we're going to keep rolling with it. And, you know, like I said, don't have a lot of news now, but this is what motivates me to get out and do that kind of stuff. So looking forward to that. What I have been doing, like I said, the show that I'm doing, which, by the way, I'll put a link in the show notes for that show. It starts 3 weeks from the day we're recording here. So it actually starts on Groundhog's Day, and it will run every weekend of February. It is in Hudson, Ohio. So if anyone's in the area and wants to come and see it, it is actually a pretty cool show. I didn't know anything about it. It's called Curtains. And if you've watched the show Only Murders in the Building, which is if you haven't watched that show, it's fantastic. It stars Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez, along with a ton of other really great cameos and supporting actors. The last season of it, if you've watched it and you know what I'm talking about, this show is really similar to that. It's essentially a show within a show. So basically what's going on is, right up front, the leading lady for this show that there is still in rehearsal, that they're getting ready to take to Broadway. Again, this is also set in like the late 50s. She's murdered, and they lock the theater down, and the investigator comes in, is trying to solve the crime. We're all stuck together in this theater, but we're still rehearsing. So like, you get the view of like the audience sees a lot of the scenes, like as if they're looking on from the back of the theater, like during a rehearsal. It's really kind of unique and cool.
Yeah.
It's really funny. It's a musical. My part in it is, I'm kind of the guy that's funding the show. I'm the money guy.
Okay.
Not a huge role, but it's one of the principal roles. I'm more of the comic relief character, which is perfect, because if I had one of the lead roles, I'd probably be going batshit crazy right now. Like, I have a good amount of lines, but not enough to where it's stressing me out. Like, I pretty much already have them memorized.
Yeah.
I don't dance a lot either, which, thank God, because I don't dance. And they know that. So they were good about, you know, giving me a part that I didn't have to learn a bunch of dance shit. So I don't mind doing it. I'm just not good at it.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm the same way. You know? Right.
But yeah, it'll be running every weekend in February. I'll put a link up for anybody in the area or anyone wants to make the trip to come meet me. Let me know if you're coming. We'll plan on getting a drink after the show or something and hang out. It's definitely not a huge endorsement to come see it, but figured I'd get that plug anyway, since it is taking up a lot of my time.
Yeah.
And it'd be cool. So I've got that. Also, For Christmas, I got my son, among other things, his big present was renovating his bedroom. So we took every single thing out of his bedroom, tore up the floor, rebuilt a big portion of the floor, primed, painted, new closet doors, new everything. Just wrapping that project up now. And then I've been wanting to paint the guest room here for months, and I started prepping that today. I'm hoping to start getting paint on walls there tomorrow. And I've got about, I don't know, four or five other huge projects that around the house that I'm going to do over the winter, but I'm not going to start another one until after the show starts, because this rehearsal schedule at this point is driving me nuts. So, and then in the realm of, like, we've talked in the past about how my hobbies are kind of cyclical.
Yeah.
The one that's roaring back in heavy right now is learning guitar again.
Okay.
So I'm buying a new electric acoustic guitar. I've got a nice electric guitar now, but I want to learn on an acoustic. So I've got it picked out. I haven't gone and actually gotten it yet, but I know which one it is, and I've got gift cards for Christmas and stuff for it. I just haven't had time to go get it yet. But this thing, I didn't really put a lot of stock into, like, the guitar making all that much of a difference as far as, like, you wanting to play it or how, like, I obviously, you know, you're going to hear a difference between a $300 guitar and a $3,000 guitar. But I couldn't have told you what that was. Like, sure. I didn't know. So I actually, one of my friends is like, no, you have to actually go into like a guitar center somewhere and like hold the guitars and play them. And it, like the way that he explained it to me in the terms that I would understand is he's like, it's like Ollivander's when you pick out your wand. Like, you got to hold it, and, like, the guitar chooses you. And I'm like, oh, okay, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it felt exactly like that. So he's, like, he's pulling all these guitars off the wall, and I'm playing them, and, like, every one of them felt the same as the last, you know, again, ranging from $300 to $1,200. Like, they all – I couldn't tell a difference until this one that he gave me just – it just felt right. It was like when Harry grabbed that wand, and you know, the rush of magic comes over him and everything, and it's like, oh yeah, this is the one.
Yeah,
that's how I felt when I was handed this guitar and started strumming it. So I'm super excited about this thing. It's a Taylor, and if anyone's interested, I guess let me know in Discord if you're interested. I can let you know the exact model and everything, but it's great. So that's actually my New Year's resolution, is to finally learn how to play guitar this year.
There you go.
So that's happening. Not going to probably start on that at all until maybe after the show's over. But yeah, there's just been a ton of stuff. Keep myself busy. Unfortunately, not with a lot of anything in the game world.
Yeah.
So, but
that's all right.
As far as like geek culture stuff, though, I've the one show that's been the focus, I guess, has been Reacher. Have you watched Reacher?
I have not, but I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Dude, that's like right up your alley. Like, you have to watch that show. I absolutely love the first season. Like, I probably watched it 4 times. And then now that the new season's out, like, it's just as good.
Nice.
Yeah. Definitely watch that. But yeah. So I don't know. Also, I guess a Dungeon Crawler Carl update, or not much of an update. I was in book 4 probably the last time we talked about it. I'm still exactly where I was. I haven't been driving as much as I used to. So that was usually when I listen to audiobooks.
Yeah.
But I am getting back in. I've been walking a lot. On the nature trail here. Huh. I've been listening to other things, but physically reading and listening to audiobooks is also coming up on my priority list. So I will have progress on that again shortly.
Nice. Well, it's funny you brought up playing guitar, because I used to play guitar in high school. And my very first guitar was a BC Rich Warlock. And that bad boy just looks sick, dude. It's so cool.
I like the name.
Oh, it's so. Oh, dude, it was like when you see this guitar, you'll be like, oh yeah, that's Zach's guitar. Like that,
nice.
Dude. It's so good. I'm definitely gonna post a picture of it in the show notes, because I'm gonna actually post a picture of a BC Rich War Beast. It's the same body as a Warlock, but it's the head that's different, because I had a different head on mine. And every time I search the internet, I cannot find the exact head that I had, which is unfortunate, because it was such a badass guitar. I have given that guitar to my sister-in-law, because she also plays guitar. And so I donated all of my guitars to her, because they were just taking up space in my house.
Nice.
And, the other guitar I got was some cheap knockoff version of a Fender. I don't know what brand it is. It's definitely not real, but it was a hand-me-down to me. And then I brought all that stuff with me into the military. Probably played guitar like 3 times total while I was in the military. And I just hung onto them, because that Warlock is like the coolest damn guitar like ever.
It's nice.
It's literally my favorite guitar, and the company that makes them, I just love their guitars in general.
Yeah,
but mine was just all black, just pure black, no lines, no other colors. just a pure black beauty, dude. This thing was great.
So the guitar that I just looked up the picture I took of it, it is a Taylor Academy 10E22.
Okay.
And if anyone knows about guitars, I mean, it might have just been the sales guy telling me this, but he said it's like a super popular, not even just entry level guitar. Like it is a good entry level guitar, but it's also like not uncommon to see that played professionally. So
yeah. Oh, I found the guitar head that I had.
Heck yeah!
Woo! Yeah, I just looked up BC Rich guitar head, and I had to look, man, because they have some sick ass guitar heads, and there's ones that were close, but they weren't quite it. And I found one, so that'll be the picture that I end up sharing, because that's nice. A very, very nice picture. Sorry, I'm so pumped about this because I don't know, this was like a big part of my teenage years was doing this.
So are you getting into guitars again in 2022 or 2024 as well?
Jeez. I don't know. I don't know if I got it in me, man, because I am doing really, really good lately, these past few months, actually, of just really controlling myself with not letting my hobbies become or not the quantity of hobbies become so high.
Yeah.
And I have been trying to focus on game dev really as much as I can because, you know, I really want to get a game out. Like, I'm just so pumped now that I'm done with school. It's like, I've got time. I really want to do it. I guess yeah, I can talk about Chris that, too.
Chris is showing us up, man. He's mm-hmm. I think he's recorded, like, double the episodes that we have of this show, and he's got a game out. Is it?
Oh,
this game is released at this point, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, it's fully released. I have it. I've played nice. It. It's tons of fun.
Nice.
I'm gonna have to bug Chris on how to beat level 3 because I cannot get past that level for the life of me. Thankfully, you don't have to play them in order, but I don't know. I think it's level 3. I'm pretty sure it's level 3. One of the early levels. I cannot beat that thing.
Speaking of Chris, I didn't look like in the last 3 months. Has he sent us a Chris's Corner? Do we have a new Chris's Corner?
Yes, I do believe we have one.
Oh, look at that, man. Chris is all over it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, oh, yeah, he sent us one on December 10th.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah. Great. So, hey, breaking news, we have a new Chris's Corner. We'll have that coming. This feels totally like our early episodes.
This really does. It's good. This is great. But, yeah, on the point of game dev, all I've really started doing is a couple little note-taking things. And yeah. But they're important. Like, they're kind of like the groundwork of what's to come. The first big thing... Oh, hold on a second. I hear noises. Oh, it's my damn cat. Jesus Christ, dude.
So your basement's flooding again.
Yeah. I screwed the shit out of me. So the first one is I've kind of started to get an idea of my like storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not very well fleshed out. It's more of just like a general outline of what I'm looking for with influence notes. Okay. And then the second thing is I have my genre, and what I did is I took three terms, like what three terms would define what my game is to someone who maybe never played it. And I think those three terms also help identify my audience because my genre is very broad. The genre I picked was RPG. So, you know,
beautiful.
Welcome to the most bloated genre in the world. And so the three terms I picked were tactical, dungeon crawler, old school.
So you're trying to make a game version of Dungeon Crawler Carl is what it sounds like.
You know, yes, in a way. but the influences that I have in mind are not actually Dungeon Crawler Carl. It's like old school games like Might and Magic. To give a more modern example, Etrian Odyssey games, those are pretty spot on to what I'm doing because those remind me a lot of the old Might and Magics. There's a few that I have. There's ones I've got that I can almost guarantee you maybe one person out of our entire listener group knows, and that person's probably not in our Discord.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know. I'm really big into dungeon crawlers and like Legend of Grimrock. That's another good one. But the only thing I don't like about that is it's more real time. Granted, you have like all the time in the world, so it's not like there's pressure. You could play it entirely with the mouse if you want. Right. And then, but it's a really good game. And then Undernaut's Labyrinth of Yomi. That's one. That's the one I'm thinking of that I don't think too many people have heard of, but that's a good one.
I am.
Yeah, they all strike that old school dungeon crawler feel. I like it when it's like on a grid and the maps are like randomly generated, or even if they're not randomly generated, like you have this, I don't know. Some of them are scripted, some of them aren't. I've had fun both ways, so it's just a matter of how you want to build it. But the big thing is on that old school point is that I really enjoy building a party. Etrian Odyssey 2 has two versions of it. There's like the first version that came out, which to be fair was kind of lame. And then the second one that came out where they had a story mode with a preset party. And then they had the other mode where you played the same story, but you could build your own party and you can mix and match at any point. You had like a guild that you ran, and that's how you made your characters.
Right.
So that's kind of like what I'm aiming for, is this fun little dungeon crawler experience. The biggest challenge I'm going to have is scoping out how many classes I want, because that's usually a huge selling point for a dungeon crawler, is having a good amount of classes to customize your party with. So I'll have to figure that out. But yeah, that's where I'm at with that, man. I'm pretty pumped.
Nice, dude.
Yeah. And then as far as like, what have I been up to? Playing some games. I've finally started getting into a groove of playing games. I was also into Season of Discovery. Fell behind you guys like crazy hardcore.
Yeah, geez.
And then, I don't know, I just was like, all right, well, I'm never going to catch up. I just don't have it. So I started playing a couple games. I started replaying Monster Hunter Rise because I technically never finished it, especially the expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And I also am playing, I'm looking at my game list here to make sure I don't miss anything. Rune Factory 5 is another game I've been picking up here and there.
Okay.
And then Symphony of War, the Nephilim Saga. I've been playing that because that reminds me a lot of the old Fire Emblem style games, but it has this cool like Ogre Battle 64 vibe, so I really dig it. It's been a lot of fun. Those are like the three big ones I've been playing. And then I've also been dabbling in Final Fantasy 14 a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, getting back into it. The new expansion got announced. It comes out in summer.
Okay.
But the real reason I actually hopped back into it is because some point in the past, I don't know how long, but at some point, they added like legitimate support for PvP. And PvP used to be a thing that no one did except when there was an event for it.
Right.
So it was one of those things where I was like, I really like PvP, so I kind of want to like do it, you know? And Final Fantasy 14 does something with PvP that I didn't think, or I didn't really know how to feel about it. But now that I've experienced it, dude, it's great. Classes have totally different tool sets for PvE and PvP. Like everything. Everything's different. What they tried to do, the reasons I think they did that, well, you can tell one of their design decisions was reduce button presses.
Yeah.
You know, don't, like, your rotation is not on three different keys. And if you know anything about Final Fantasy 14, most rotations are on a 1-2-3, 1-2-3 rotation.
Right.
They take your 1-2-3 rotation and bake it into one button.
Okay.
And that's already a huge improvement. And
you know, on a design level, because I noticed they do that with crafting too.
Yeah.
Like your class, when you go to craft, like all of your abilities on your toolbar and everything, like you kind of just become a crafter. You switch to that, like that becomes your class.
Yeah, yeah. Crafting is a class. It's an actual like class that you have to level up. Yeah.
And I think at least thinking about it from a development point of view, that makes it way easier to balance if you kind of filter out the abilities that you intended for PvE,
mm-hmm.
and then just totally start from scratch and make a whole new set of abilities per class that are only of use in PvP.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like it's they try to keep it as true to the PvE version, so that way you at least understand, but there are some nuanced differences. So there's two classes that I'm kind of like focusing on right now, mm-hmm. and it's Samurai and Monk, and okay. I just really like their playstyle. Like Samurai has this really cool, like it has 3 1-2-3 combos, or I'm sorry, 2 1-2-3 combos and a 1-2 combo that you kind of rotate between. And in PvP, what it does is it turns it into a single button, and it's 7 hits, with your 7th hit being like super strong.
Okay.
And so that already is something you still have to keep track of, like what hit you're on. But yeah. it's not that difficult because the way they structured their UI, it's very clean and easy to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is like the way they handle ultimates. So your ultimate is your limit break. If you're a fan of Final Fantasy, you know what a limit break is. It's basically an ultimate move. Right. And in PvE dungeons, this builds up as you enter combat and take and receive damage or receive and deal damage.
Yeah.
In PvP, it's a timer. So like every X amount of seconds, your ultimate comes up.
Oh.
Everybody has access to the same CC. Everybody has access to the same CC breakers. They have a defensive and yada yada, so on and so forth. There are still class specific ones that you have, which are still great. But you don't feel gimped entering into PvP as a class. You don't feel hard countered by anybody. It really is this nice little balance of skill. Gear does not matter at all. You are a set hard stat line. Stats aren't even a thing. Like they literally set everyone's health based on their role. Okay. So like DPS have their health pool. Healers have a health pool of a set amount, and tanks have a health pool of a set amount. When you read your tooltips, they use a term called potency. In PvP, that potency is the exact amount of damage that you're going to see when you press that button.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's before any modifiers, plus or minus. So, like, that's cool. I don't know. It's just really nice. It's very easy to get into, but it definitely has some faster paced, like, very aggressive, like, bait out all their defensives feel, just like WoW does. Mm-hmm. But because of the way their GCD is 2.5 seconds rather than it being 1.5, you have a little bit of time to process what's happening. Okay. And that I've really been enjoying it a lot. I'm also just enjoying leveling Monk because that's the class I picked for this upcoming expansion. I think, I don't know. I might go to tank. I'm not sure.
I have some questions about that. So
sure.
Like first of all of that design decisions sound like they're geared towards making it easy to balance. Like
yes, 100%.
Making the, I'm drawing a blank. The CC the same for everybody, like that just erases any kind of balance there because everyone's got the same tools.
Yeah.
So it makes the development work to balance things out way easier. But I guess my question, if you say that like gear and nothing impacts your player, like so what is the progression then?
You get glam objects. So that's the equivalent of transmog in like WoW.
Okay.
Transmog rewards, you can still get other rewards. I'm not entirely sure what all the rewards are, to be totally honest. I was more or less looking for something fun, and yeah. It's just nice that you can dive into it right away, and there's really no barrier. Like it's you can dive in. The barrier is learning what other classes can do, because while we all have access to the same CC and breakers and stuff, there is still little nuanced things that each class has in its toolkit. Like as a samurai, that's like my favorite one to PvP in. And the reason is they have their ultimate does the most damage out of anyone's ultimate. And that's like their thing. Samurai's thing, even in PvE, they are not a utility bringer. They are just a pure DPS. I just pick a dude. That dude's dying. Like that's my role, right? Like my role is not to CC the guy. I don't care. I'm just going to, you know, smash his face in. That's my role.
Yeah.
And I don't care about giving anybody else buffs. I want my buffs, right? That's like in PvE, you're juggling buffs a lot to keep yourself just maximizing that output.
So there's no way in PvP, whether it's your first battle or your 500th, you're going to be the same, you know, power as anybody else in there. There's no way to improve that.
Yeah, no, you're the same power, but like you, they do have rating. So like, you know, as you get better, you will improve your rating. Okay. And there's lots of tactics too. The maps have hazards. So like you, like a lot of classes have pushes and stuff, and there's defensives that can also stop pushing. You can push them into a hazard, and the hazards do a pretty significant amount of damage. And the way they handle the self-healing is it uses your MP. So everyone gets basically four heals. That's not including MP regeneration. So assuming your MP doesn't auto-regenerate, you can get four heals off before it's done. Another thing I noticed is in PvP, your off global cooldown abilities are much more responsive. They're like instantaneous no matter what. Whereas in PvE, there's a slight delay and it's due to animation lock. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that necessarily. You learn to get used to it. But in PvE or in PvP, it's really nice because it's just so quick. Like it's snappy. When I click the button, the thing happens.
Okay.
And they clearly did that again as a design choice. Like, hey, we can't have what we got going on in PvE happening in PvP. Because if a player wants to stun someone at that moment, we need that person to stun. Right.
Yeah.
So like that there's definite clear design decisions, and there's reasons why it's like that in PvE. Just to give the quick version, it's simply because the way the rotations work, you can get one to two off globals between each global ability. And that's by design. It's made that way so that you can weave off globals into a rotation. And some classes are easier than others, but that's kind of the general idea.
Yeah, I guess my initial thought, so there's like pros and cons that I think about the approach they took there. Because like my first thought is it would bum me out that I couldn't like twink out a character, because that's like one of my favorite things to do in WoW is like have somebody at like the 19 brackets that is way overgeared and has all the high level enchants and is, you know, like I have a decided advantage because of the gear I have and the enchants I have. And like we used to talk about them like they were muscle cars.
Yeah.
Like you spend a lot of time on your main, like getting gold and, you know, finding things just so you could trick out your twink. And then you take that twink in there and just smash faces. And that's fun for me. But the advantage I would see is that the game then becomes more tactical. Like it's almost like Call of Duty at that point where like, yeah, you can get new skins and stuff for your guy, but like everybody in general is doing the same amount of damage and everything. So they're focused more on the game mechanics and the map mechanics and stuff like that, which is also fun and probably more the heart of what it should focus on. So I don't know how I feel about it. I
love it. Yeah. I don't like, don't get me wrong, it's fun when you just dominate someone, but that's the thing in Final Fantasy. I've done that because there's still a bunch of abilities. Like you still have a lot of stuff to track and just keep an eye out on your opponents. You're still trying to do the same exact tactics you do in WoW when you PvP, like think of it like Arena. And you're still trying to do that, but it's just nice to have this little, I don't have to focus on the fact of like, wow, that dude just one shot me because he out geared me. Great.
Right.
It's more of, oh no, I got one shot because I didn't recognize the setup and I missed my opportunity to stop it. Right.
Yeah. It's more skill based than that guy.
And like, you'll always know like, oh, I could have stopped that. I should have seen it kind of thing. Like there's always, and that's the other thing, because Final Fantasy doesn't allow you to use add-ons and they have made a deliberate design choice on that. But what I like about it is they support you with that. You can modify your UI within their thing. This is, in all honesty, WoW's new like UI editor thing very closely resembles Final Fantasy 14's, and that's been in that game for a long time.
Right.
And but what I like is the animations. Animations are like what you use as your key to understand like what's going to happen next.
Okay.
And that's how you recognize setups. Yeah, does that kind of suck? Because now you have to learn different animations for different classes. Yeah, but you can generally pick it up pretty quick. yeah, I don't know, man. I just really enjoy that level of play because I don't feel like I have to, oh, well, I got to grind and get the Conquest gear now because, you know, it's a new season and my Conquest gear is worse than Honor gear. And it's like, it just feels good to be like, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to PvP. We're going to see how good I am today.
Oh, cool.
So that's just been so much more fun to me. And for those of you who want to try PvP in Final Fantasy 14, maybe you have a sub or whatever, you've been afraid to do it, or you're new, you just got to hit level 30, then you can go PvP. But before you queue up for PvP, my biggest advice, go to the Wolf's Den, which is like the PvP island, and set up your bars, because otherwise it just like auto-populates them as soon as you come in, and they will not be in any coherent order. Right. And you will have all of your abilities, no matter what level you are. But you have to at least minimum have hit 30 in order to play with the desired class that you want to play.
And if you decide to do that, I won't have time, but I'm sure Zach would love to play with you guys. So just hop on our Discord, and if you want to partner in PvP.
I'm not sure. So this is the other thing. I'm not sure how that works. Because everything I've seen, well, actually, I think it does work. So there's certain game modes that you can play with friends. Okay. But the default game mode, which is like kind of like Arena, it's a 4v or a 4v4. Yeah, 4v4. That one is solo only.
Oh, you can lame.
Only queue up on that solo. And also the other thing they've done, I forgot to add this in there, you cannot chat by typing. You have to use predetermined chats if you want to chat. And the obvious reason why they've done that is to reduce toxicity. But yeah. Honestly, Final Fantasy XIV's like community has been, they are such so much better than most other MMOs.
Oh yeah. That's been my experience playing.
Yeah.
Game
they're too. Just, they're really nice people. Like I had a tank wipe us. I've had a tank wipe me a few times in dungeons this past week. And every single time, everyone's like, yeah, don't worry about it, man. No problem. Like, because, you know, the tank would be like, I'm so sorry. I forgot I don't have this ability. Because in Final Fantasy, you get your abilities get downscaled to whatever level dungeon you're doing.
Yeah, right.
And I do hate that, but it is what it is. But yeah, he was just like, I'm so sorry. I forgot I didn't have this ability. And the healer was like, yeah, no problem, man. I totally sucked at that heal. And everyone's like, yeah, no problem. It's cool. And I'm like, damn.
Yeah, right.
Dude, you do this in WoW, people be like, man, you fucking slow down my level.
Yeah, boat kick. Wait 30 minutes tank. For another you tank.
What? You what, rogue, you tank. See you later. See you later, warrior. Bye. Yeah. Like, dude, the WoW's community just sucks.
Baron's chat still kicks ass, though.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's always.
I always love sitting in Baron's just looking at the chat. That's always.
Baron's chat never disappoints.
No, but yeah, man, that's like the big one I've been playing is Final Fantasy. And between those other games I listed, I'd say Final Fantasy and Monster Hunter Rise are the two games I've been playing the most out of those four.
Nice.
Play Monster Hunter Rise on my laptop. Actually, I stream it from my desktop to my laptop using Steam's streaming capabilities. So that way I don't have to like literally blow my laptop up to play it.
Right.
And I could just, I don't know, it's fun. I got my PlayStation controller. I'm chilling in bed. I got my laptop and just.
Man, you're living the dream.
Yeah, dude.
Sweet. Well, before we get too far into this episode, because we're already pulling up close to an hour, I want to make sure to get Chris and his hard work in here for the Chris's Corner that he sent us over a month ago. So let's take a little break and welcome to Chris's Corner.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Chris's Corner. I have been a little bit sick this week. I've had a little bit of a grand old time, and that is going to be the inspiration for this prompt. I've been very isolated. I've been very stuck. I've been living in a room. So let's make a game about living in an individual room, just living in one small little space. Maybe it's not a room. Maybe you're living in a cloud in the sky, right? I want to make it a little happier for me. Maybe you're living in a really cool cave, a really interesting cave. Let's go with that one. That one's more interesting to me because I almost want to live in a cave. I almost want to spend a year hibernating in a cave, just like, or like a cabin in the woods, right? Doesn't this immediately feel like a survival game? Doesn't this feel like if you're living in a cave, it begs to be a survival game? So, I think it's going to be one. But let's not use the conventional mechanics. In fact, let's assume that you're going to have food. Let's assume that you're going to have warmth and whatever else you need. And the real trick of it is managing what? What is it? What is the interesting, odd thing about this cave? You are trying to prevent the outside world from entering your cave. It is a game about maintaining isolation. Something is wrong outside, or something is wrong inside, and you're protecting them from you. Or you're guarding something within. There it is. You're blocking, you're protecting the outside world from the evil within the cave. This cave is the entryway to something dark and dangerous, i.e. the illness that I currently have. It really is. It's literally just an allegory for me having COVID, because I have COVID right now. I am feeling way better, by the way. Like, I'm, like, pretty much recovered. But let's say you're defending the outside world from this cave. Maybe it's not a survival game. Maybe it's not a survival game. Maybe it's something a bit more high tension. Maybe it's a little horror game. Maybe it's a spooky, scary game where you gotta get to the door and block it at the right time without the evil thing seeing you, right? Like, you have to subtly keep it trapped away. You have to go around and seal the entrances, seal the exits, and keep yourself locked in with this monstrosity. You can't let it get out. And then every once in a while, oh, you know what? You do have to get supplies from the outside world, but you have to do it in a way that doesn't allow this fiend, this demon, this dangerous, horrifying creature out of the cave. Or maybe it's just a bear, you know? Maybe it's not an end-of-the-world situation. Maybe you're living in a cave with a bear, and you have to keep the bear sated. You have to make sure that the bear gets enough food, that it doesn't turn to you and go, hey, maybe you're looking kind of delicious, and maybe you haven't been serving your purpose of feeding me. And then if you help the bear long enough, then it goes back into the deep, dark depths of the cave, and you're able to get out of there and lock it back in, right? I think there's something interesting there. I like to think of the mechanics more. I'm not really thinking of mechanics so much today. I'm mostly just thinking, like, wouldn't that be kind of fun to have a game where you're trapped with this thing and you have to stay there with it? Because that's how it feels in a way, isn't it? That's kind of like being sick. You're trapped with this thing, and you and it are there, and you're locked in battle with it, and you cannot leave this cave. Right? I'm totally fine, by the way. I really am recovering very well. I want to make sure nobody worries about that. I'm feeling quite well at this point. I'm just, like, finishing up my recovery. But I thought this was an interesting concept for a game, and that's everything I've got for you. I'm going to send it back to the regular show.
All right. Thank you, Chris, for another wonderful Christmas Corner. I'll tell you, I think I've said this before, but if listeners aren't, like, hearing some of these ideas he comes up with and just running with them and making games out of them, like, I don't know, he's giving you solid gold. Like, these are great ideas.
100%. Dude, that's cool. Actually, he actually gave me an idea for my game through that one. So,
yeah. I was thinking about a whole bunch of cool stuff. Like, I liked where he was going with the bear, but I was also getting kind of a Dungeon Keeper feel. Mm-hmm. I think I've mentioned that game before. It's an older game.
Yeah, it's but a good one.
I like it because it flips the script of the traditional you're the good guy taking out evil. Like, there's another games called Dungeons, I think, that are really similar to it. Then they're more recent.
Yeah.
but you're the bad guy and you're building your dungeon like, oh, what other games? It's like kind of like a Sims sort of thing where you're building certain rooms in your dungeon that do different things. Evil Genius is another one that's a lot like this. They just released a recent one of that too. And then every so often the good guys will come and try to invade you. Dungeon Defense is another one of these, and that one's more like a tower defense kind of feel. Yeah. But yeah, there's so many angles you could take that idea. But that, like, originally when he was saying it, that's what I was thinking of, is like you're protecting your solitude in this cave, and for whatever reason people are trying to get in there, and you've got to come up with ways to stop them. So good idea, man. I like not only just the actual ideas that he comes up with, but the process, like hearing him kind of talk himself through it is really interesting.
Yeah.
I love those segments. Thanks again, Chris, for putting those out as often as you do. And hopefully we can get a better rhythm of shows so that you don't have to send them to us and then we don't listen to them for a month. That will improve. I promise.
Yeah, for sure. I have a bit of news too. This happened actually, I want to say it was probably after our last episode, because if Chris sent us that on the 10th, then yeah, this definitely happened after. Metal Hellsinger. I don't know if you guys remember when I talked about that game.
Yep.
So it released a DLC on December 7th, and I haven't gotten it yet, but their DLCs, they have two of them. They're actually reasonably priced considering that, you know, they're getting like really well-known metal singers to do these songs and like, I don't know, giving you a full level design on it. And one of them, it looks like, gives you a new weapon. So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. The old DLC, the one that released in March, is $4. And the one that released on December 7th is only $6. And it looks like you get 2 and 3 extra. I don't know if it's songs, but you got 2 singers for the first one and then 3 singers on the other. So I'm going to assume 2 and 3 songs respectively. So you're paying $2 per song. It's basically what you'd pay for like a song on iTunes. So. Yeah, nice. Except you get to play a cool game with it, and it's rhythm, and it's fun, and you're shooting demons and stuff. It's so cool.
Yeah, I've watched a couple clips of that game getting played. It does look neat. It's not my thing, but...
Yeah, dude, you feel like a god when you're just like on rhythm, and you're just hitting stuff. You're like, oh, and your like head starts bobbing, and you're like, I'm in this shit. Like, let's go.
Oh, another present that I got Aiden for Christmas was the new Oculus Quest 3, which is the latest one. So I had the one. I originally got that one like right when it came out, which was cool. I did a few things with it, you know, hoping that it would be the Oasis from Ready Player One. It is not, nor is the 3. We're not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, the 3 is a whole lot closer. They added some really neat AR stuff to that one.
Mm.
I haven't had a chance to really play it that much either yet, but the quality of the visuals and the graphics of it are so far and away better. The responsiveness, everything. The reason I haven't been able to play it is he didn't know I was getting it. He didn't ask for it or anything. I just kind of got it.
Mm.
And, he didn't even look that excited about it when he owned it. He's like, oh, you just got this because you want to play it. I'm like, well, yeah, but I think you'll like it too. but I haven't had a chance to play it because he's been playing the shit out of it since he got it for Christmas. He's been playing a football game where like you're the quarterback and I don't know. I haven't played it yet. But
yeah, that's not really up my alley.
Yeah. My dad loved it we took it over to my grandma's on Christmas Day, and my dad like took over that thing for an hour. That was really funny to watch.
Oh, there's definitely a game I'm going to bring up because I believe it was the last show or a few shows ago. I brought up that I'm a avid idle game enjoyer. Mm-hmm. There's a idle game I've been playing the hell out of called The Norp Apologue, and 10 out of 10. Really good, solid idle game. My little Norp village is just going crazy. I have so many rockets on the screen at one time that they kind of blend together and they hide my balloon, which has a minigun. The game is basically just about shooting this rock or beating up this rock to get its resources, and the rock has infinite resources, and that's the loop. I'm not going to go too much into detail. If you're interested in idle games, I highly recommend it. The NORP Apologue. NORP is spelled G-N-O-R-P, and the is inside parentheses, all lowercase. Everything else, hopefully you can get to it from there. So, yeah, 10 out of 10.
Sweet.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else I really have to cover. I think the big thing is just kind of hopefully instilling some confidence back to the listeners that, you know, the Distinguished Humans Indie Game Dev Club will live on. I know we took a bit of a break, but
yeah. In our defense, we normally take a holiday break, but we just didn't get our last show before that.
Yeah.
That's all.
And in doing the show, it kind of is it's a cyclical thing. Like this motivates me to get out and actually do game development and stuff so that I can have valid things to talk about here. And luckily I have Zach that does a bunch of it, and Chris is a constant contributor, and with Chris's Corner. So I do feel like we have a good mix of actual indie game dev content when you tune into us, since that's kind of why most of you probably started listening to us, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But you know, we also like to hit up geek culture stuff too. And, I think our listeners enjoy that. And I know Zach and I like talking about it. So,
Oh yeah.
That was fun. We'll keep improving. We've got some ideas that we've talked about already for this year. We'll get more solid on what those are before we really put them out to the community. But, there's hopefully going to be some growth this year. But really, for this particular show, I don't think I have much left. Zach, whatever you... I definitely want to talk about the community.
Oh, but, yeah. Yeah. The only thing I got is our Dungeons & Dragons thing is kicked back up.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Sean. Just big, big help there. And so if you're still interested in trying out some D&D play-by-post action via Discord, you'll have to join our Discord for that. It's really fun. Sean does a great job. He's really good at teaching everybody how to do things. And he just makes it a good overall good time. That's all I got.
Yeah, and I guess I'd like to say on that too, like, you know, even if you're not going to be playing, and I think at this point the party's probably locked, but you can still get involved, you know, in our Discord. You can read through the story. You can watch the action as it happens because it's a public channel, so you can see everything that's going on. You can feel free to comment in the, you know, the out of character channel too, and you know, you can be involved that way. But just seeing how it works, or if you just want to kind of like see how it's progressing, like the way that the story channel goes, is it kind of cuts out all the dice rolling and all the explanation of everything, and really just kind of explains just like you're reading a story, what's going on. And that's, I've been doing that and kind of watching what's been going on with that. So
yeah. And I realized I forgot to put my last story post in character, so that's cool.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so it's just gonna sit there though, because we already have the next line of story there, and if I edit it now, my thing will pop below that and it'll look weird. So yep, so the powers that be have invaded our D&D world, i.e. one of the players is now there. It's okay. It happens. And that's the other thing. We do goofy stuff like that every once in a while where we forget to do whatever. And, you know, it's just part of the fun. So,
all right. Well, let's get on to our community, which is the most important part of this podcast. I did notice that our Discord is now nearly 40 active members, and they all are pretty active on there. That's it every day. I had it muted for a while just through the holidays because I just had so much stuff going on, so I was pretty far behind. Zach was pinging me for what, like 8 days? I
think, oh yeah, that's right. Everybody was like, hey, when are you guys gonna record again? I did this fun little like gimmick where I'm like, day one of me tagging Brad to get him to help schedule a recording day. And I even said, I was like, I could easily just text him, but this is fun. So I just started being silly with it. a few people made bets on when he was going to respond. And yeah, it was just, it was cool. It was a silly little thing.
Yeah, it really, it's such a fun community. Like it makes me feel so good to get on there and like, especially when we get some new listeners and they tell us kind of the story about how they found the show and like what they think of it. And like that kind of feedback just makes my whole day.
Yeah.
So even if you pop in there just to hit in general, just to say, hey, love the show. That's better than any 5-star review on iTunes or anything else you could do like that. That really, we read every single one of those. Mm-hmm. Anytime anyone joins the Discord, Zach and I will see it. And we are usually pretty quick to personally welcome you to the channel.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you know, feel free to just keep listening the way you're listening. But if you'd like to join a good community of some great people, get a little more involved in the show and talk to us directly, feel free to jump over to Discord. The link's in the show notes. So thanks for everybody on there. You've made some really like legit friends off of our listeners too.
Some yeah.
people in there that I consider friends at this point, which is,
yeah, I have a few school friends too, who have joined. One of them is actually playing in our D&D play by post. So
nice.
Yeah. It's a good time, man. So
as far as stats go, this has been interesting, right? So like we haven't put out a show since what, November maybe? Might have even been, no, I don't think it was October. I think we got one in.
I think it was November. I think you're right with that.
You know what? I have the technology to look at this. November 14th was the last show. And actually we were pretty sporadic. We put out 2 in September, 1 in October, and then the November 14th one was the one that you did on your own.
Yeah.
So my last one was before Halloween.
We were struggling because there was just schedules were tight for both of us.
Yeah. So, but even with all that, with us not putting out a show in almost to the day 2 months, we've maintained really consistent download numbers. Like we're still near 200 downloads a month, which is bigger than we, definitely bigger than, like I was happy to see us at 50 downloads a month last year.
Yeah.
And with 2 months of no new content, we're still getting a lot of downloads, which means either new people are finding us or you guys miss us so much you're just listening to the old episodes again or what. But whatever it is, it's really great to see that we're still reaching people out there. And now that we're going to get shows out more consistently, we'd like to see that continue to grow. So thank you guys so much for finding us and continuing to listen to us. A couple locations, and I'm going to just do this over the last 5 episodes. I like to try to pick out new ones that I see here. I don't think I've seen Zurich yet. So we had a new listener from Zurich.
Nice.
I thought I saw a couple other new ones. I don't know that I've mentioned, this actually looks familiar, West Malling, Kent. I think I would have remembered that because the town I live in Ohio is Kent.
Yeah.
So that might be a new one. West Malling, Kent, thank you for joining us. Vivian, Louisiana is definitely a new one I haven't seen. Ooh, these are my favorite, the ones that I have a hard time pronouncing. I'm going to go with Jaguar Ribe, Ciara.
Oof.
I sound like I'm saying that in a very Eastern accent. There's probably a really cool, fancy way to say that, but... I'll just say to how it's spelled. Jaguar Ribe Ciara.
Okay. That's
that one.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. We got, oh no, I've definitely said that one before. Roy, Utah. I think we have some Utah, so that's I've seen before. So that might be somebody driving around or it might be a new listener. So hello. Right. Hello to Roy, Utah. I think Roy is the name of the game in Rick and Morty that they play at Blips and Chips. You don't watch Rick and Morty, do you?
I do not, no.
Oh, what are you doing with your life? yeah, it's a game where like you just basically you literally live out this guy named Roy's life, and it's nothing spectacular. It's just like just this regular dude named Roy.
Nice.
But it's in real time in the game. So like you might go 20 years. And it feels like you've been Roy for 20 years, but you've only been playing for like 10 minutes. So like when you die as Roy, and that's the whole point of the game, I think, is to make it as long as possible and be as successful as possible in Roy's life. And then when he dies, you're back in the arcade, seeming to you 20 years later, but only like 10 minutes has passed. So
yeah,
it's interesting. Huh. Jeddah Mecha region. I think I might have mentioned that one before, but that was just fun to say. Surrey, British Columbia also looks new. Let me see if I can find one more that is a new one. I know I've said Chesham, Buckinghamshire before, but there's also an Amersham, Buckinghamshire. I definitely have never said Cockeysville, Maryland.
Yeah, that one's new.
Would have remembered that. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And there's a big list here. This leads me to believe that these are new listeners finding us. So thank you.
Yeah.
Let's go one last one. There's more, but let me go one last one. We got Rossville, Georgia.
All right.
So we're still looking for that elusive Africa listener.
Oh, man.
Out of all episodes, every continent on the planet Earth has been touched by the Distinguished Humans Indie Game Dev Club, except for Africa. So call your buddies up, plan a vacation, and take your iPhone with you and listen to us somewhere in Africa. Or if you're just flying over Africa, just make sure you press play on our podcast while you're there. Just so we can, I just want one, just so I can say we've already achieved world domination, but I want total world domination. I want every piece of land on this globe touched by this podcast, and Africa is our only holdout.
Yep.
But yeah, I love going over those numbers with you guys, and just showing our appreciation. You guys are why we do this. I would have probably just watched Ant-Man tonight after getting home from, hanging out with some buddies a little bit ago. But instead, I felt obligated to make sure that we are continuing with this podcast for you guys. And I hope to have a little more game dev stuff from my own front to share with you next time. So anything else, Zach, before we sign off?
No, man. I think that's all I got.
Oh, and if you notice, Zach sounds a little crisper. Santa brought him a little present.
Actually, I'm going to call it. My wife gave me this. This is my wife's gift to me. She got me a brand new mic.
Okay.
Just for podcasting. And she's like, beautiful. I hope this helps. And I'm like, I think it will. Either way, I'm going to put it to use. So it's nice. It glows. It glows red like lava.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's super cool. I just got it. I'm already thinking, I got to get a mount for this thing and have it just hang up upside down right in front of my face.
Yeah. You can get them for $10.
Yeah.
That's what I'm rocking. Is it a USB mic or is it XLR?
It's a USB. It's nice, man. I like it. It's got these cool little, I don't know. It's just how it's structured. It free floats in this ring I shouldn't say free float, but has these little cloth rubber band things that keep it locked center in the ring. So it looks like it's free floating. It's neat. So cool. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
You should post what it is in the Discord.
I will.
For the show notes. I don't know. Mine's just a basic XLR mic using a USB interface. So it looks really fancy and it has a pop filter on it and it looks all cool. But all of the the silky smooth sound that you hear from both of us, some of that definitely has to do with the mics that we use, but it's more Audacity magic at work, adding compression and cool stuff to us. If you guys are more interested in how we're set up, let us know and I can either talk about it on the show or I'll post something in Discord in the notes about kind of how we do this. Oh, on that note, things may change here. One of the services that we've used since the beginning that we really like is called Zencastr.
Oh, and yeah.
That's been really great at just making it really easy to have a great quality sound. And what I love about it is it records us in separate tracks. So I know a couple times during this recording that Zach's key clicks when he's typing
yeah.
are coming through really. Yeah. Right there.
Yep.
Yeah, coming through really strong, probably because of his new mic.
Yeah.
If I was a, you know, stickler for post-production, which if you've heard, listen to this show at all, you know I am not. I would easily be able to go find those and mute those because it does separate tracks. And it's just like I've recorded it directly with Audacity before, and the quality's not as good, which is weird because this is all recorded over, you know, VoIP on their servers. But
yeah,
whatever kind of magic they're doing when they're capturing the original audio, it's like the best quality. So I don't want to move away from this service, but now they want to start charging. Because we weren't doing video or anything crazy like that, we're only doing audio. Like it's always been free.
Yeah.
Now they're moving to where that's not a thing anymore. So this may be the last time we use them, or I might just decide I don't care about the little bit of money they want to charge me and just pay it, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But either way, we'll make sure this show still sounds great, whether it's with this service or another. So, but yeah, maybe we will take some time and explain that, because I know a lot of people on here actually go and do their own podcast, you know, based on stuff we're doing. So on that note, ooh, this is another thing I was planning to end this like 10 minutes ago, but whatever. If you do want to start your own podcast, I got to find the info here. We use a service called Buzzsprout to get all of these, you know, after we do the post-production and we record it with Zencastr and everything, to actually get it onto your resources that you find us on, Spotify or Amazon or iTunes or wherever you're listening to us from. Buzzsprout makes it just a one click and walk away process. Like, it's so easy. They have a lot of stuff as far as like they can do the post-production stuff for you and the mastering and all that. And I don't use that, but I do use the tips that they give you to do your own stuff though. So it's just been a really great service. I would definitely recommend that. There used to be a thing, like I'm not finding it now. There's a link in our show notes where you can click through, and there's some benefit by using that link for both you and us. So it shows support for the show, but also gives you either an Amazon gift card at one point. At one point, they were giving me like a free month. They might not be doing anything now since I can't find it on the thing, but try the link. I'll try to get more information. I don't want to try to find it while I'm talking to all of you guys, but even if there isn't any major benefits to the link, if you're planning on doing a podcast, I would recommend you use Buzzsprout.
For sure.
All right. That is it for episode 32. And thank you again for stopping by, and we will see you next time.
See you later, everyone.